Today's daf is Erchin Yud Chet. We're going to start at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Bet. If you recall, from the right a little bit after the Gemara started, we had this issue of Minani v'Heshir v'Chazar v'Heni, someone whose financial status was in fluctuation, and when he made the Erchin, he said Erki Alai or Erch Ploni Alai, he had no money, then he became wealthy, and then he became poor again. And then the question is, when he comes to pay, he's now poor again. So what do we say? It doesn't matter that he started poor and ended poor. He has to give the erech of an ashir. He has to pay the full amount, meaning he doesn't have the money, so he has to basically, until he can't fulfill his vow until he gets more money. And the reason is because it said, imach hu me'erkecha. And we understood who as being he in a stable, he has to constantly be poor from the beginning of the process till the end in order to get the patur. Then we questioned, what about the mitzora? It also says imdalhu, and we know that it's not the case that we judge it that way. And then we said, right, mitzora, there's an exception to the rule, and it's different because, right, we said there, but there we just proved that it wasn't the case. Okay, we didn't say why, but we proved it wasn't the case, and it's because he has to be b'taharato, the pasuk says, when he's becoming tahor, he has to be poor in order to get the exemption, and that's why it doesn't go by, his status doesn't have to be constant the whole time, and there was a three-way debate about at which point exactly. And then we said, well, what do you do with the word who there? And then we said, it goes back to what we saw earlier, the way Rebbe and Rabbanan darshaned who, for the whole issue of if someone is ani, and then someone else comes along and says, you know, I'll take over your korbanot, and they're ashir, and the different opinions about whether imdalhu, which cases it comes to exclude, depending on whether you're Rebbe or Tanakama. Now we're going to bring another example where it says vihu, and we're going to see that you don't have to be in that constant state from the beginning till the end. So again, in order to come up with these cases, we need to find, number one, a case where there's going to be a difference if you're wealthy or poor, although in this case there actually is a difference, but it's not exactly the issue here. It is the issue. Okay, let's go into it and then we'll see. It is a case where there's a difference. It's one of the cases of the Korban Olev Yored, where depending on whether you're wealthy or poor, you have a different Korban that you bring. But actually the topic here is not the poor, the wealthy, the wealth versus poverty. The issue is we're going to have where, again, just like us, you took the vow and then you had to pay up on the vow. You saw testimony and then you have to testify about it. So we're going to discuss what if you're not in the same status in both those times. Okay, again, this has nothing to do with the korban. The case is if you saw testimony and you then didn't come forward to testify, okay, and you didn't, right, you forgot, it has to be a case of shogeg, you forgot that you knew testimony about this and you swore under oath that you didn't know anything, and then it turns out you did. So you have to bring a korban olev yored, which again means depending on whether you're wealthy or poor, it would affect what type of sacrifice you bring. So now let's look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'nefesh ki techta, v'shama kol Allah, v'hu aid, okay, here comes our part, v'hu, you notice, he is an aid in a case, o ra'a, o yada. He either saw or knew. Okay, we darshan those psukim a long time ago. Im lo yagid v'nasavo. No, if he doesn't come forward and give his testimony, he's going to get punished, meaning he has to bring a korban chatat. So now, what should we infer from what we learned? V'hu ed ad shiyehe. Now again, it's not the wealth issue. Ad shiyeh kasher mitchilato v'ad safo. He has to be a kosher witness throughout. We're now going to give a bunch of cases where somebody might be a kosher witness at one point and then would be pasul later. So we would assume, based on this pasuk, v'hu eid, it would mean, because v'hu, he has to have been able to be an eid throughout the entire process, from the time he saw the testimony till the time he testified. V'chite ma'achinami, maybe you would say that is the case, and it's because it brought it up as a question. And we know that's not the case, and if you want to say it is the case, v'hatanya, it says in a braita, haya yodea lo be'edut. Ad shelo nasa chatano. He knew testimony for someone before he became a son-in-law. Then v'nasachatano, and then he married the guy's daughter, or which then he became a kahov. He's a relative; he can no longer testify. Or pikeach. So now we're going to talk about the two, right? The time he saw and the time he testified. Pikeach v'nitcheresh. He was perfectly fine. His hearing was fine, and then he became deaf. Patuach v'nishtama. He was able to see, and then he became blind. Shafoi v'nishtata. He was clear thinking, and then he became
muddled.
Okay, he couldn't think clearly. Right, doesn't have da'at. Harezer pasul. He's now going to be pasul because that's obvious. Because at the point he comes to testify, he's no longer a bar da'at, or he's pasul for other reasons. Aval haya yodeh lo edut ad shelo nasa chatano. Let's say, now we're going to bring a comparable case. He knew testimony, right? He saw something before he became the guy's son and father-in-law. Vina sachateno. Then his daughter married the guy. Then achar kach meta bito. Then his daughter died. And now he wants to come forward to testify. At this point, he's a kosher aid because he's no longer related to the person. Or, pikeach benit cheresh v'chazar benit pakeach. Right? He becomes cured of not being able to hear. Patuach v'nishtama v'achar kach nitpatech. He was blind, right? He was okay, then he became blind. Then he, again, remember, it has to be obviously that at the time he saw the testimony, at the time he wants to testify, he's in good shape. Shafoi v'nishtata v'chazar v'nishtafa. Kasher. All those people are kshirim. Ah, so here you see, right? Zaklal. Kol shetchilato v'safo b'kashrut. Kasher, meaning you don't need to be kasher the entire tkufa, even though it says the word who. So what is the Gemara answer? Shanehatam. This is a different case. Why? Tamarkra o ra'a im lo yagid. Meaning there's two actions here. Biri'ya v'hagadah tala rachmana milta. V'ha'ika. The Torah depends it all on the seeing and the telling. As long as at the moment of seeing you're good and the moment of telling you're good, then you're fine. It all depends on those particular moments, and there's no sense of what happens in the middle. What happens in the middle is irrelevant. So now we have to explain what is the word who coming for then. Now si'a is with an aleph and a samach. Samach yud aleph hey. But the some change it to si'a with an ayin, which is a group. Okay, it's for the following braita. So you have a case where he sees a group shel b'nei adam, omdim, ve'edav b'nehem. And there's edim that saw following act, right, some act, and they happen to be in this big group of people. And he says to that group of people, "Mashbi'ani alechem im yod'im atem li edut shetavoi v'tiyiduni." I'm making you swear that you don't know testimony from me, right? And if you do, come forward and testify. But he says it to them as a group. He doesn't specify any individuals in the group, and they just happen to be among a big group of people. Yachol yuhu chayavim. You could think that these people would be chayavim if he makes them swear in this way. Tamu lamar v'hu ed v'harei lo yiched edav. They weren't, it has to be v'hu aid, they were kind of, he put his finger on them and said, I want you to testify. I know you know testimony about me. And then they come forward and they say no. But if he asked them in the middle of a group, then they weren't individually approached. And therefore, they're not going to be chayav in that case. Yachol afilo amar kol mi. What if he says, okay, now there the lashon, be very specific. There it said, I'm making you all swear. You all, okay? But if you say, call me, each one of you, right, he doesn't necessarily point to each one, but he says, I want each one of you to swear, then that means he was looking at them as individuals. So now you might have thought, call me, if that case were going to be patur, maybe also this case would be exempt. Tamu lamar, v'hu eid, v'harei yiched eidav. It says, v'hu eid, and here he did kind of point at him. And therefore, in that case, they will be chayavim. But in the first case, they won't be. That's what you need the word who for, and not to teach you that has to be the same status all throughout. Okay, now, we're continuing in the Mishnah Aval, but korbanot eino kein. Really, it's not so much for this part that the Gemara is quoting it, but it's really for the continuation. If you remember, at the end of the Mishnah, it said, Afilu meit aviv v'hiniach lo ribo, or on yudzayin amabed, o sfinato bayam u'balo b'ribo'ot, ein lehekdesh b'aklum. If you have someone who's poor, but his father dies and leaves him a fortune, or he's got a boat on its way with a fortune of what's the word? Stuff, you know, whatever, merchandise. He's got a huge boat full of merchandise on its way, worth a lot of money. So why in those cases can the Hekdesh not demand, okay, we're going to learn that Hekdesh can come to your house. We talked about this in the very beginning of the Masechet, but you probably don't remember. But one of the things we said about Erchin is it's like Nidarim in the sense that if somebody makes a promise to the Beit HaMikdash, the Gizbar, the treasurer of the Beit HaMikdash, can come to his house and start taking things of his and saying, you know, you didn't pay up, we're taking this. So, or force him to pay. Now, in this case, even though apparently he has the funds, we still call him an ani. So obviously, it's a little bit strange because his father left him all this money. Why do we call him poor? Isn't that a case where somebody now has money, where he was ani v'hashir? So, aviv meit b'niach lo ribo, ashir hu. So how can you possibly, right? He's an ashir. How can you possibly say he doesn't have to pay? Amar Rabbi Avahu, eima meniach lo ribo. Okay, so now they say, it means his father's very wealthy and will leave him a big fortune when he dies. Okay, we all know that just because a father's wealthy doesn't necessarily mean he's going to end wealthy, he's going to end his life wealthy. That seems like, and then the Gemara says, pshita. Obviously, we're going to still call him poor just because his father's wealthy, right? It doesn't mean his father's sharing the wealth, and it doesn't mean he's necessarily going to inherit from him. Who knows what's going to happen? So the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? Why would the Mishnah need to tell us this? So now the answer, the case is, kshaya aviv goses. He has a very wealthy father, and the father's on his deathbed. So ma'u detema rov gosesim lemita. Maybe we would say most people who are on their deathbed will die, in which case we could view it as if he already kind of owes this money, and we can't treat him as an ani. Kama shmalan. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach you. Now, even though rov gosesim lemita, we don't follow the rov here. We call him an ani until he basically becomes really an ashir. Svinato bayam, ubalo beribo'ot. He's got tons of money coming on this boat. Ashirhu, again, isn't he rich? So Amar Rav Chisda, kishaita muchrechet umuskeret biyad achirim. The idea is, the case is, okay, this is what we call an ukimta. Both of these cases are ukimto. We say, the father, he was on his deathbed. The boat, the boat was rented out to someone else, meaning the merchandise isn't his. Okay, but what does it mean, though? It means that the person, he's got, let's say if it was chachira, which is, what do you call it, kablanud, doesn't know my words today, where you rent it out to someone and you get part of the proceeds. Okay, he's like working for you like an aris, like a sharecropper. Okay, so here, he took your boat and said, we'll share the proceeds. So now, you get a percentage of the proceeds. So basically, this is either mukrechet or muskeret biyad achirim. And now, what do we say? So now, it's on his way to being his, but it's not his yet. It's in someone else's possession. So now they say, va'ika schirut, but what do you mean? Isn't it really like as if he's gotten paid that money? We know that money's coming to him. It's kind of like having a check and you haven't cashed it yet, right? It's on its way to you. The guy hasn't paid you yet, but he's going to pay you. So first of all, it's interesting they say this, but I guess this answer really maybe would say what I would say, which is, schirut eina mishtalemet ela levasof. Schirut, we've seen this machloket. There's a machloket about this. We've seen it in the Bavas. It also comes up in Kiddushin. It was in Bava Metzia also. About whether when you pay schirut, do you kind of owe the money from the beginning or do you really only owe the money at the end? So the assumption here is that this Mishnah holds that ein the schirut ela levasof. The schirut only really the obligation for them to pay you only kicks in when they're finished. So basically they don't owe you any money right now until the end. And when that kicks in, then you'll be wealthy. But right now, you're not anything because this money isn't really yours. I was thinking like an easier answer, but maybe this is a little bit connected, which is this is all potential. First of all, the boat could sink. The boat could, now maybe it means the boat's already here, but it does say Sfina Bayam, right? So just because it's on its way, we don't know what's going to happen to it. And you never really know, is the guy going to pay you? And we all know how difficult collecting your bills is. Could be, and therefore it's possible that that's also part of the issue, although the Gemara doesn't say that. So then they say, but wait a minute, if this guy owns a boat and he's renting it out, he obviously has possessions like his boat, so can't they, like I said before, they could come into your house and take his collateral something if you don't pay, so can't they just take his boat? So, or say your boat means that you're wealthy and therefore give us part of the boat, so we can force you to sell it. Hamane Rabbi Eliezer, this must hold like Rabbi Eliezer, Ditznan, in a Mishnah further on in Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, where it talks about this issue of the Gizbar coming to your house and taking your stuff. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Im Haya Ikar, if he was a farmer, Notain Lo Tzimdo. He gives him the Tzemed Bakar, what's it called in English? I don't have the English translation. Okay, the Tzemed Bakar is the thing that, I think it's the yoke of the animals. That's the way he makes it. Rashi says it's hi parnasato. This is where he makes his money, basically. So we allow him to keep the tool that's the most important for him in his work, The chamar noten lo chamaro. If he's a donkey rider, right, that carries stuff on his donkey, so we leave him his donkey. We don't take his base possessions, okay? The Mishnah actually talks about, I mean, we'll get there when we get to Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, but the Tanakhama says all sorts of things. We give him mazon shloshim yom for 30 days, we give him clothes for a year, we give him a bed, and he needs basics. Okay, we'll see all those basics when we get to the Mishnah there. New Mishnah. If you remember, when we started the perek, we said there were four things. Heseg Yabin Odera, Hashanim. So that's so far we've dealt with the first one, Heseg Yabin Odera. The next Mishnah, or this Mishnah, is going to talk about the next three. Okay? Hashanim Binidar Ketzad. What does it mean that the years go by the person that you said, I'm giving his value or her value? Yelet Sherich Zaken, Notain Erech Zaken. Vizaken Sherich Ta Yelet, Notain Erech Yelet. If he's a child, now what do you mean a child? A child can't do. His vow doesn't mean anything. We obviously mean a child under the age of 20. Okay? So if a child was to say, I'm giving the value of someone older, we're obviously going to go by the older person's value because it goes by the person being valued. And the reverse, if a zaken says he's giving the value of a child, then he's going to have to give the value of a child and not of his own age range. This is obvious. Ha'erchin b'ne'erach. So now we're going to talk about gender here. The gender goes by, again, it's also obvious, by the person that you said, I'm giving their value. Ketzad. Ish erich isha, a man who says, I'm giving the value of a woman, noten erich isha, obviously gives the value of a woman. Isha sherich ha'ish, noten erich ish. It is basic. Ha'erich b'zman ha'erich, ketzad, we already explained this, right? You give the value based on the moment you said, erchin alai, not based on when you go to pay up. Ketzad. He'erichu pachot miben chamesh. He said, I'm giving the value of an under 5-year-old. V'nasa yeter al ben chamesh. But then before you paid up, he became 5 already. Then obviously you give before the younger age. Pachot miben esrim. V'nasa yeter al ben esrim. Notem b'zman ha'erich. You have to wonder why they gave that example and right, both examples. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Braita, the Gemara brings the Braita. Atai kashta damim le'erichim. You made a hekesh. I don't know who the Braita is talking to exactly, but I assume it means the Torah. The Torah compared neder to erchim. Remember the pasuk said, neder be'erkecha. So we said we're going to compare, even though there's many ways where we don't compare the two, we're going to compare neder to erchim. So you made a comparison of neder to erchim. In what way? Margalit lekalim v'lidom bechvodo. So now, in these two ways, Margalit, there's a few different ways of understanding this. I'll give you Rashi's explanation. A pearl for the poor. A pearl for the poor means when it comes to poor people, when we're assessing their value, let's say they have a pearl. So we say, well, let's take this pearl and see what its market value is. Now, the market value in the poor person's local community might be a lot less than the market value if you go to a big city. Because in a big city, there's a lot more demand for it. And therefore, it could be the price will go up. But it could be in this little city, people don't really want pearls, and the price is going to be very low. So let's say you evaluate it. I'll use Rashi's example. Rashi says, let's say you evaluate it in the local city at 30, and he said an erech of 50. So we're going to say it goes by the value of what it sells like here. You don't need to do it otherwise. How is that like neder? Well, if I say I'm giving the value of a pearl, what do we assume? What value did I mean? The value of what a pearl sells in my community or the value of what a pearl sells in some more expensive community? So obviously, if I'm saying the neder, we go by the value of what it sells for in my community. So likewise, when it comes to erchin, and we try to figure out if the person's poor or not, we evaluate it based on what it's worth in his own city. V'lidom b'chvodo, we already learned that what that is, if you remember. That means if you say erech roshi alai, so likewise if he says demei roshi alai, what's the value of your head? Well, your head is your whole body, really, because without your head you can't live. So therefore, the value becomes your whole body. So that's another way where erechin is like neder. So now, the Gemara says, yachol nakish. So if you're going to be hikashta damim le'erchin in these two ways, you might have thought, yachol nakish erchin le'damim shehei kisha netina. Maybe we'd also compare them that you would have to give the value based on the moment where you pay up and not the moment where you took the vow, which would be like nedarim, because nedarim you pay based on the moment of payment and not the moment you took the vow. Tamu lomar ke'erkecha yakum. Because it says ke'er kecha yakum, that teaches you it will be established based on the erech. They learn that means bizman ha'erech, is the moment you took the value upon yourself. Now, this is a strange pasuk to use because actually, if you notice, I don't know if you notice this, but if you look in the Torah, or you would think this pasuk is by Erchin, and that's why they're using it, but actually this pasuk isn't by Erchin. This pasuk comes up about someone who's makdish, a steach, who's a, if you remember, someone who takes a sadeh of his father, and he sanctifies it. So, im mishnat hayobel yakdish sadehu ke'erkecha yakum. So here it says, ke'erkecha yakum, and the point is that in that pasuk, there's no reason to say that ke'erkecha yakum, it's an unnecessary statement. If it's an unnecessary statement, what do we always say? Well, im eino inyan lezeh, tenei inyan to something else. So since those words are not needed there, and since Erchin has the same lashon, we're going to use that to teach us about Erchin, then eino notein ela bezmana erich. Okay, starting now with the Mishnah, the new Mishnah, okay. Yuched Amud Aleph at the bottom. Yom Shloshim Kilamata Himenu. Okay, now we're going to get into, from here to the end of the daf, all about when you say a particular number. This is always the big debate. When the Torah says, Ad Shishim, so until when? Until, at what point do you go switch values? At exactly 60? Is it 60 in a day? What if you're exactly 60 years old at the time someone took an erchin about you? Would it be 50 shkalim or would it be the lower amount of 15 shkalim? So, Yom Shloshim, now here we're starting with the first 30 days, okay? You're supposed to be 30 days old in order to have erchin, if you remember. Under 30 days, you say erki alai, you say erich of this tinok alai. You don't pay anything. If you gave the vow and you said demei tinok zealai, it would be, but not erchin. So yom shloshim kilamata imenu, the 30th day is considered like under 30 days, which means if the baby was exactly 30 days, you wouldn't have to pay anything. Shnat chamesh u'shnat esrim kilamata mehem, same thing when it comes to 5 years and 20 years. It's all, that day is still considered the lower category. Mehem ne'emar, or it should be bahem ne'emar, v'im mi-ben shishim shana v'mala, because it says, if it's ben shishim shana v'mala, there it says, when it talks about the 60 days, it says v'mala, which means you have to be over 60 in order for it to already go into the next category. So since it says it there by 60, hare anu l'medim b'kulan. Okay, therefore we're going to learn from there to all the other cases, because the other cases didn't say v'mala. But when it came to 60, it said 60 v'mala. So mishnat shishim. So arei anachnu lomdim b'kulam mishnat shishim. We learn them all from the 60. Ma shnat shishim kilamata himenu. Af shnat chamesh v'shnat eslim kilamata himenu. Okay? So now, what's the problem with saying this? Okay, let's just put it up on the board. It's pretty obvious what the problem is. When it comes to ben shloshim yom, right, and then when it comes to, well, let's start with the five. 5 years, right, 20 years, we keep going, right, the 5 years is already, you're going to, from 5 to 20, you're going to go up in value. From 20 to 60, you're going to go up in value. When you get to 60, you're going to start going down in value, okay? So now, when it says shishim v'mala, we understand, that's what we call lahachmir. By saying day number 60 is treated as before, that's going to be machmir. By saying day 20 is treated like before, that's going to be mekel. Instead of being 50 shekels, right, you're going to be in that 5 to 20 range. And 5, if it's 5 goes lamata, you're going to be in the 0 to 5 range, or 30 days to 5 range, which is also lower. So these cases are going to be lakula. So the Gemara says, why are you going to learn it from, right? I'm sorry, the Mishnah actually answers. It's a Gemara type question. Hain, is this really so? Imasashnat shishim kilamata mimenu lahachmir? Right? Doesn't make so much sense. So they say, okay, fine. So it's not as logical to learn it like that. But they're going to say there's a gzeira shava, and the gzeira shava is going to override our question. Because we have a good question, but the gzeira shava is going to override. Talmud lamar, shana shana the gzeira shava. When it comes to the 5, it says, right, imi ben shishim shana, it says by the 60. And by the 5 and by the 20, it says, imi ben chamesh shana. I don't have the pasuk in front of me, but it's imi ben chamesh shana, and then srim shana. Each time it says the word shana. Okay? And we're going to learn in the Gemara that those words, shana, are really unnecessary. Once it says, let's say, mi ben chamesh shana va'a ben srim shana. Once you say shana once, you don't need shana twice in that pasuk. It's obvious we're talking about years. So therefore, we're going to also talk about this unnecessary. At this point, they're just saying it's a gzera shava. Ma shana hamura b'shnat shishim kilamata אף שנה אמורה בשנת 5 ושנת 20 כלמטה ממנו, בין להקל, בין להחמיר. Okay? And that's how they say, we learn from Seir Shava, שנה, שנה, and therefore it goes in all directions. Comes Rabbi Eliezer and he says, Rabbi Eliezer אומר, עד שיהיו יתרות על השנים חודש ויום אחד. He brings this interesting thing, which we're going to learn how he gets it. Actually, not only is 60 going to be considered like 59 or, you know, under, but 60 and a day, I'm sorry, 60 and a month. He says the whole first month of the 60th year is still considered under 60. Okay? So he says there's a whole extra month that is considered still within there. Okay? And only when you get to the next month, the second month of your 60th year, then is it going to go to the next level. So we're going to have to see where he gets it from. It's a bit of a strange limud.
It reminds me of the Havdil before Shanat Shemitah that you have
to... Ah, Yafet. There's also the Tosefet, Yafet. We see this lots of times where there's a Tosefet where they add a whole month before Shemitah and after Shemitah. But that's when there's something called Tosefet. Like there's this concept of Tosefet Shvi'i, like this Tosefet Shabbat. This is strange. Right. Okay. Right, and the Torah gives a specific age, right? It's sort of like saying into the fifth hour, into the sixth hour, people wait 5 hours. There's this concept that things go into the next year. There's sort of concept, that's sort of where it's coming from. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Mufne, the word Shana must be unnecessary because De'ilo Mufne, if it's not unnecessary, we have a general rule by Gzeirah Shava, that we can learn things from Gzeirah Shava even if the word is not unnecessary. But if the word is unnecessary, I'm sorry, if the word is necessary for the pasuk, then we can knock out the Gzeirah Shava if we have a question on it. But if the pasuk is, the words are unnecessary, then we can say, then they're given to Darshan anything we want, even if we have a question. So therefore, we must say that this is mufne, dilo mufne, ikal mifrach, kid prachina. Just like they asked the question in the Mishnah, they'd be able to knock this out and say, well, that's only lachmir, but this would be lakula, and therefore they can knock this Gzeirah Shava out, and therefore shana must be unnecessary. Shana, shana, yeterek tive. Right? It said shana unnecessarily there, because really it would have been obvious it was by years, and therefore, because it says it also twice in the same pasuk, and chamesh shana, adasrim shana. Okay. Now they're going to say, lema manitin dilo karebi. The fact that we needed a mission to tell us that Shishin is specifically not the next stage, right? Shishin goes under, obviously is not like Rebbe, or it seems to be not like Rebbe. Again, Lema is always going to be a suggestion they knock out. But should we say our mission is not like Rebbe? Why? Di Rebbe ha'amar ad va'ad bichlal. Rebbe always holds that when you say until includes, so the pasuk says ad Shishim, which would mean it would be inclusive. Now, we're going to learn that ad va'ad bichlal means when you say it starts and it ends, we're going to mean it includes the first day and includes the last day. It includes everything from both directions. This is going to create a problem in our case, we're going to see, but right now let's just start with the shishim. So, how do we know, first of all, that Rebbe holds ad va'ad bichlal? So, we're going to see from the following braita, and then we'll get back to our question, is it possible our Mishnah really doesn't hold like Rebbe? Because again, Rebbe agrees with the Mishnah, it's just that Rebbe thinks there's no reason to darshan it from a pasuk. It's obvious, because we always say ad means adva bichlal, and therefore you don't need the Gzeirah Shava to teach it. So, how do we know Rebbe holds adva bichlal? D'tanya. Miyom arishon va'ad yom ha-shvi'i, this is about shivat yamim matzot tochelu, ach ba'yom arishon tashbitu se'or mi'batechem, we're obviously talking about Pesach, if you eat chametz from the first day till the seventh day. So, now they ask, yachol rishon v'lo rishon b'chlal, shvi'i v'lo shvi'i b'chlal. Maybe it means from the first day to the seventh really means from day number two to day number six, not including those days. Kinyan shenemar, just like it says when it comes to tzarat, leprosy, meroshov v'ad raglav. Okay, what's the pasuk here? Im paroach tifrach atzaraat ba'or v'chista atzaraat et kol or hanega meroshov v'ad raglav lechol mar'eh enei kohen. If the tzaraat goes all over your entire body from your head to your toes, okay, for anything the kohen can see, and then the next pasuk says basically you're not a mitzorah. You're only mitzorah if you have some sort of spots on your body, but if it covers your entire body from your head to your toes, then that's not, it's a weird exemption, but you're not considered a leper. Okay, that's not leprosy. Now, they darshan this pasuk, Rosho v'lo rosho b'chlal, raglav v'lo raglav b'chlal. Now, we normally say head to toe, we mean the entire body. When the Torah says head to toe here, the rabbis darshan, it's excluding your head and excluding your toes. Okay, now, we're going to see later why that would be. We're going to come back to this. But right now, let's just keep on track with the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you might have thought Rishon to Shvi'i doesn't include Rishon to Shvi'i, just like Rosho v'araglav doesn't include Rosh and Regel. Talmud Lamar, oh, for that we have another pasuk. The pasuk says, Barishon v'ara'asar yom l'chodesh b'erev tochlu matzot ad yom ha'echav esrim l'chodesh b'erev. What does it say? Well, starting from the first day at night until the seventh day in the evening, you have to eat matzot. Therefore, it's obvious it is ad v'ad b'chlal. Now, according to this, the only reason why we thought it's ad v'ad b'chlal is because we have a drasha that tells us that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have assumed it. Here comes Rebbe. That's who we were looking for. Rebbe Omer, Einot Tzarich. You don't need this drasha. Rishon v'rishon b'chlal. Shvi'i v'shvi'i b'chlal. So Rebbe says, oh no, mi rishon v'ad shvi'i obviously includes everything. So now we're going to say, so now that was all to say, maybe our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, because again, our Mishnah, it wasn't obvious to our Mishnah that it was Ava B'chlal. But what's the reason? Now this is where it gets a little more complicated in our case, because Afilu Tema Rebbe, Shikule Mishkele Krai. The Psukim, if you hold Ava B'chlal includes the first day and the last day, well then our Psukim don't make sense. They're weighted both ways. Because what do our Psukim say? K'tiv mi ben chodesh v'ad ben chamesh shanim. So what does that sound like? Chamesh shanim is part of the earlier, according to Rebbe. But then it says, two, furthermore, mi ben chamesh v'ad ben esrim. Right? It says, mi ben chamesh shana v'ad ben esrim shana, which means that five is included in the next category. According to Rebbe, whatever it says, it includes it. Well, five is included in both, and 20 will be included in both, and 60 will be included in both. So therefore, that's what we call shikule mishkale. It's weighted in both directions, right, from mishkal. So, what do we need that lamali? And you know, that doesn't make any sense. Hilkach ishtak luluhu. Therefore, they're weighted, and therefore, even according to Rebbe, you'd need a drasha here to tell you which way does it go. Amar Mar, now let's just go back to the Rosho, v'lo Rosho b'chlal, ragla v'lo ragla b'chlal, minala. Where do we get this from? It doesn't include the head, it doesn't include the toes. Ibait ema, shani simanim de gufo, mi simanim de Rosho. It could be because the simanim on your body are different from the simanim on your head. When the Kohen looks, he sees, one of the things he looks for is there a hair that grew out of it, and what color is the hair? Well, a hair that's white on the body is a siman of tzaraat, and a hair that's yellow on the head is a siman of tzaraat. So the simanim are different, and therefore maybe the head shouldn't be included. This answer doesn't exactly explain what about the toes, but the next answer answers that too. Ibait ema lechol mareinei kohen. If you paid attention, the last words in that pasuk were for whatever the kohen can see. And the assumption is the kohen can't see what's on the head because the hair is covering it, and he can't see what's between the toes because you can't see very well in between the toes. It's a very hard area to get to. So, and you could say lechol mareinei kohen, where he has to see everything at once. Obviously, you can look really carefully and look in between the toes, but when he looks at your body, he can see your entire body, but he can't actually see what's in between your toes. So therefore, maybe the toes are in the, and that explains why the toes and the head are excluded. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ad shiu yeterot al hashanim chodesh b'yom achad. Now we have to explain the strange shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya. So here's a brayta that explains it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ne'amar kan lamala, v'ne'amar lahalan chodesh v'mala. So it says here, shishim shana v'mala, and it says, when they were counting the Leviim, Pekodet b'nei Levi lebeit avatam b'mibar perek gimel pasuk tefav, lebeit avatam lemishpachotam, kol zachar miben chodesh v'mala tifkidem. Okay? So now, what does it say there? Miben chodesh v'mala. So mala halan, miben chodesh v'yom echad, avkan chodesh v'yom echad. So now he does, I would say, kind of two jumps. He says, number one, we're going to compare the two. There it says Chodesh Vamala, and here it says Shishim Vamala. So because it says Shishim Vamala, and there it says Chodesh Vamala, we're going to take that Chodesh Vamala and add the Chodesh onto the Shishim here. Okay, it's a bit strange, but that's what he's doing, basically. So he's saying, the assumption is, we don't really need Gzeira Sheva to teach Vamala, because there already is Vamala. We already know from the Pasuk it's Shishim Vamala, and it has to be Shishim in a day. So if we're going to learn something from this Gzeira Sheva, it's going to have to be that we add that entire amount that we did the Gzeira Sheva from, which is a Chodesh, and we add it to here. It's just interesting to note that Tosfot has a different Nosach. If you look at the second Tosfot on the page, it says, Ukduyomi ben Chodesh Vamala. He had a different Girsa. where it wasn't talking about the Levi. It was talking about the counting of the Levi, where there it says mi ben chodesh v'mala. It was talking about pidyon haben. When it talks about pidyon haben, it says u'pidyon mi ben chodesh v'mala. But Tosfot says here, v'chipasnu achar mikra zeh v'lo mitzanu ki'im u'pidyon mi ben chodesh tifteh. And there is no pasuk in that. He had a girsa that said this is the pasuk, that you do the pidyon haben mi ben chodesh v'mala, but he says there actually is no pasuk, and you can see from Rashi, or at least the Torah or here, didn't have that girsa. Right? They had a different girsa. Actually, is it in Rashi also?
And isn't there already known that if you don't do Pidyon HaBen on the day?
Right, Rashi says it's the Levi'im, Ibn Chodesh Vamala. Okay, but what?
Isn't there an inyan about doing Pidyon HaBen on the exact day, and if not, then not?
No, I don't think you could do a Pidyon HaBen after. I think so, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure you do it after. So anyway, Tosfot struggles with this, you know, and then he tries to bring some pasuk u'pidyon ben chodesh, which is mashma ben chodesh b'mala, and then he basically says, so they make gzeira shava on something that's mashma from the pasuk, which is a really strange answer, right? The obvious, you know, the better answer is they were accidentally quote, you know, the girsa he had the wrong pasuk quoted, which one can understand because ben chodesh, and when people thought of ben chodesh, they immediately thought of pidyon haben rather than levim. Even though it's, you know, obviously it's connected. The reason why we do it Miben Chodesh is because that's when the Levim were in their own place. But anyway, okay. Ve'ema kihatam. Well, wait a minute. So now they say, if you're going to learn it from this Ben Chodesh v'mala, so why don't you learn it the same way? Ma hatam chad yoma, just like there, it's adding one day, afkan chad yoma, which was, you know, the basic obvious question. So in Cain, Gzera Shava Mayahani, they say we don't need a Gzera Shava for that, and that's why the Gzera Shava is Mechadesh, that it's something more than that. Okay, now the Gemara is going to talk about how we count years in general, in all different kinds of cases. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, I'll give you the backdrop for this. I think the backdrop for this, the way I read it, is if you remember in Rosh Hashanah, there's a list of all the different times of the year that are Rosh Hashanah for the Ilanot, and Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behem, and Rosh Hashanah. There's all these times of year where we say this starts the year. Right, and in general, we say right calendar year. I was thinking I've always used this comparison: the giver, when kids are considered like you're the first years, you're the second years. It's all depending on what year you were born, and not based on your birthday. Okay, now the bright is going to bring, as opposed to those things, we're now going to have a list of things that go by the time you were born or the time that the event happened, and we're going to count from there. They're going to call it Me'ed Le'ed. Now, there's two ways to understand Me'ed Le'ed. Either Me'ed Le'ed means we're going to count from this day. Let's say it's the 10th of Nisan, we're going to count till the 10th of Nisan the next year. A full calendar, you know, a full year from that date. Some people understand it means even from the hour. If you remember this, we had this case by Korbanot, where the animal became a year old in between the time that you started doing the Korban and the time you finished doing the Korban, and then we had this question about it, and they say, how could that happen? And they said specifically this, because we count a maid late even by the hour, and then we said how crazy that people had to keep track of what hour their animals were born. Okay? So either maid late means mamash by the hour, which that Gemara certainly understood, or some people say it means by the day. So now we're going to have a list of things that go by the day exactly, and not the count, not a year from Tishrei to Tishrei. Tanu Rabbanan. Shana ha'amura b'kodashim, by animals for sacrifices. Shana ha'amura b'batei arei choma. Okay, this is when you live in a walled city and you sell your house. You have a year's option to rebuy it. Let's say you're poor, you can afford it. You only get a year. After that year is up, you can no longer buy it back, and it doesn't return to you in the oval year. It's a specific law about cities, walled cities. We're going to get to all this stuff later in the Masechet. Shtei shanim shebistei achuzah, this we talked about the other day, said Kimis Parshnei Tvuot. So if you sell your land, you have ancestral property, which does go back in the Yovel year. If you sell it because you can't afford to live there anymore, you sell it, you can't buy it back within the first 2 years. It's different from the other one where you can only buy it back within the first year. Here you're not allowed to buy it back until 2 years have passed. You have to give the person who bought it 2 years worth of crops. B'sheish shanim shebe'eved ivri, 6 years he's a slave, 7th year he goes free. B'chein shebe'ben v'shebe'bat, and also by boys and girls, we're going to have to explain later what that means. Kulam me'ed late. All of these go from the time you started till the time it ends, and not by a year on the calendar, meaning not from the first of the year till the last day of the year. Okay, shana mu'a b'kodeshim minala. Where do we learn this from? Amar v'acha bar Yaakov, amar kra, keves ben shnato. What does it say? It doesn't say keves ben shana you need to bring. It says keves within its first year. Shnato shelo v'lo shel minyan ha'olam. Therefore it goes by his year, not from the when the world was created, you know, not the years, calendar years. Shana amura bebatei arechoma, tichtiv, ad tom shnat mimkaro. Again, his sale has to be from his sale, mimkaro shalo, v'no lo shana l'minyan olam. Shtei shanim shebesei achuza, tichtiv, b'mispar shnei tvuot yimacher lecha. He has to sell it to you at least for two seasons of tvuot. Now, why does it say years and tvuot? It must mean that there must be a difference. There has to be a case where there's a difference between how many tvuot and how many years. Pa'amim sha'adam ochel shalosh tvuot b'shtei shanim. Let's say the harvest time is when? Nisan. So let's say you sold it in Nisan and you bought it in Nisan. So now you're going to get this year's produce, you're going to get next year's produce, and you're going to get a third year's produce from, right, the, let's say, just before Nisan. You're going to get all of that, whereas if you sold it in Tishrei, since that's not the harvest season, you'd only have 2 years of crops. So you could potentially have more years of crops than years. You go free. So what did they learn here? In other words, in the seventh year, which sounds like potentially you could still be working in your seventh year. How so? Well, your seventh calendar year, but it hasn't actually been 7 full years that you've been working, or 6 full years. V'shebeben v'shebebat, kulam me'ed le'ed, l'may hilchata. So what's the halacha about ben u'bat? Two opinions, amar of gidol amarav, le'erchin, for the sake of erchin, okay, whether it's male or female, okay? That's going to go, right, what you pay for the males and what you pay for the females is going to go by their own birthday and not by a calendar year, like in the giver, right? Not like in the giver. Rav Yosef amad lepirke di yotzei dofen. Rav Yosef says, no, it's for all the issues discussed in Perek Yotzei Dofen, which is Perek Anida, where it talks about all sorts of ages, and that's more simanim, you know, when you get to age of mitzvot, okay? And all the ages there are based on when you're born, not erchin. So Amar le Abaye Rav Yosef, mi pagitu, do you really disagree with Rav that it's not for erchin? Amar le lo. No, I don't actually disagree with him. Ana Amar chada, v'hu Amar chada. I said one thing, he said one thing, and we both agree. It's just he was giving one example, I was giving other examples. Hachinami mistabra, and all the more so, it makes sense to say that, disal kadatach pligi, manda Amar le erchin, lo Amar le yotzei dofen. What? Whoever said erchin wouldn't say it for all the things in yotzei dofen? Doesn't, it's meaning, Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav that he says it about Erchin, what he wouldn't say about Yotzei Dofen, Bahama Rav himself said, Hilchata b'kula pircha me'ed late. He said about the parak of Yotzei Dofen, he says, we paskin in this whole parak, everything is me'ed late. So therefore, it's obvious Rav does agree with Rav Yosef, he just gave a particular example. Ve'ela manda amar le'erchin, so Rav Yosef, who says it's le'erchin, my time alo amar le'yotzei Dofen, why didn't he say it for Yotzei Dofen? Dumiya dehanach. Sorry, I made a mistake. Rav, who said it for Erchin, since he also holds it for Yotzei Dofen, why didn't he say the Yotzei Dofen? So he says, Dumiya dehanach. Mahanach dichtiva, achanach dichtiva. Because he wanted to teach you that Yotzei Dofen is like these, that just like Erchin is written in the Torah, even though all the things in Yotzei Dofen are written in the Torah, they're like halacha l'moshe m'sinai. In other words, it's as if it's passed down from the Torah. V'idach, what about Rav Yosef? Isa kadatach dichtiva, hainu shebeven v'shebebat, shebezachar v'shvina kevam v'bayale. If the Mishnah was talking, if the Braita here that we quoted was talking about benubat, meaning erchin, it should have said zachar nekevan, not benubat. Benubat is much more likely to be talking about reaching an age of maturity. Umayshna nekeva, so now, okay, that's that. Now we're going to end the parak and end the shiur today with a very fun line, especially for women. Mayshna nekeva, now look at the erchin. When they're 60, okay, it's either between 20 and 60, males are worth 50, females are worth 30. When you get to age 60 vamala, males are worth 15 and females are worth 10. Now, should I make the reverse? Okay, so now, males go from 50 down to 15 and females go from 30 down to 10. Notice females drop by a third, males drop by more than a third. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara wants to know, why do males drop by more than a third? Now, one could very easily answer, because they like round numbers, very simply. And this is a third, right? We see this in many cases where round numbers are very much more used. They don't do actual perfect calculations, and it creates lots of problems to the Gemara later who wants to figure things out with exact calculations. But anyway, the Gemara wants to say something kind of funny here. I think, Maishna nekeva dechi mizkena kaima atilta, when she gets older, she's a third of her value. Maishna zachar delo kaya atilta, who's worth less than a third. Amar chizkia, amar inche, people, this is what people say, saba bebeta pacha, pacha bebeta, safta bebeta, sima bebeta. an old man in the house is just a headache, he's a burden, he's a complainer, you know, he's worth nothing. But a safta babeita is like having a gem in the house. It's an amazing thing. Okay? Now, what to do with this line, okay? I think there's a few interesting things. Number one, men, the general approach people have to this is that men, when they're young, they do hard labor. And when they get older, they can't do hard labor anymore. Whereas females, the labor they can do in the house, even though there is hard labor to do in the house, they schlep water, they did all that. But the older women, there's lots of things they can cook, they can take care of the kids. There's a lot of things they can do in the house that don't require that. That's what most of the Mepharshim talk about. I also thought of another thing, which is that men have a much harder time when they're not working. Like, take a man who's unemployed and a woman who's unemployed. The man generally, again, this is generalizations, but I think it's, as an overall generalization, it's much harder for them to just sit in the house doing nothing. Whereas females, they'll find what to do, and, you know, they'll entertain the kids, they'll read a book, they'll do something that's valuable, and they don't get as worked up about, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm not worth anything, I have nothing to do with my life, etc. So maybe that's another take on this. Anyway, it's a cute thing to end with. Hadron alach hesed yad, and tomorrow we start the next paragraph.